We're learning a piece of the Pachad Yitzchak on Purim, and we discussed that the Pachad Yitzchak is a work that was written by Rav Yitzchak Hutner, who was Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Chaim Berlin, a disciple of Rav Kook Zatzal. And his focus is on the Pasuk Reshit Goyim Amalek, which is the Pasuk that interested Bezalel. That's why we're learning this piece. The verse says, Amalek is the first of the nations, Vachito Adeovid. And its end is going to be complete, in the end, he's going to be completely finished. Seifa Dach Kra, the end of this Pasuk, Kachu Mitparesh. This is how it's explained. Even though the end of days is going to be such a period that the nations of the world will be perfected, the nations of the world will be fixed, and you could see Rashi, he says on the first pasuk of Shema, nonetheless mikol makom la'amalek en shum tikun, Amalek is not going to be fixed gam b'tkufat achit hayamim, even at the end of days. ומכיוון שבתקופה זו של אחרית הימים, and being that at this period of the end of days, ואחריתו, in the end of days, לא יימצא שום דבר שאינו מתוקן, there'll be nothing left in the world that's not fixed. There's going to come a time where everything's going to be fixed, except Amalek. הרי מוכרח הוא שתקופת אחרית הימים היא תקופת האבדון של Amalek. So then what's left to happen in the world? Amalek has to be eradicated from the world. If everything's perfect but one thing, then that the perfection of the world is the removal of that one thing.
This is also a mitzvah.
What? No? He's going on the prophetic vision of Bilam. Bilam looks at Amalek and says, Reshit goyim Amalek, they are the first of nations, v'achriton, in the end of the Oved, they're going to be lost from the world. They're going to be annihilated.
This is a pasuk
in Parshat Balak. That's a vision that Bilam sees about Amalek. וזהו שנאמר ואחריתו עדי עובד. That's what the verse is. His end will be, he will be lost. שהאחרית, that what will be the conclusion of the world, so to speak, what will be the completion of the world, הוא היוודון דאמלק. That's when Amalek is removed. ומפורש הוא בכתוב טעמו של דבר. And the pasuk explains the logic here. דזהו המשך הכתוב, דראשית גויים אמלק. That the pasuk is giving us a logical sequence. Because the first of the nations is Amalek, umipnekach, therefore achito adei oved. The end is that he will be lost. V'zed Amalek u'reshit goyim. So why is Amalek called the first of nations? Umipnek Amalek ya'uma rishona shebaa lilechem b'Yisrael. Because they were the first to attack Israel. Dehainu, shekol ha'goyim mitnegdim em l'Yisrael v'nilchamim behem. And now he says a powerful line. He says, in the essence, all nations are contras to Israel. And they fight them. We think it's a new thing, the story of the UN. So I have to print out for you a history of anti-Semitism. Just to see, country by country, year by year, who burnt Jews alive, who burnt their synagogues, who killed them, who annihilated them, who banished them, who did inquisitions, one after another. You know, there are a few that stand out in history. We have to stop and take a look at the history at large and suddenly realize, wait a second, you don't have a decade where Jews weren't being persecuted to the death. So, why is Amalek called the first of nations? Because all nations stand in contra to Israel and fight them. And in this ongoing struggle between the nations and Israel, the first one to start attacking us was Amalek. So when we say Amalek is the first of nations, seems like we're giving him an honor. Says Rav Hutner, no, the idea is there is this ongoing battle in the world. We're not antagonizing anyone. We're not starting the battle, but everyone seems to be intent on fighting us, and the first to start with that battle was Amalek. Mifurash eifo b'lshon ha-katuv, we see that the verse is explicitly saying, ki mipnei zed Amalek haya rishon nilachem b'Yisrael, that the idea behind it is that because Amalek was first to fight Israel, mipnei kach eno takana, that's why he has no hope. He's never going to be fixed as a nation, even in the end of days. Reshit goyim Amalek, the first of nations to fight us was Amalek. Ve'achrito, and therefore in the end, the day of Ed, he has to be lost. Mipnei shehu haya rishon b'milchemet ha'goyim u'bitnagdutam, being that he was first in that fight, that war of the nations and their standing opposed to the existence of Israel. Lachen lo yeh lo tikun, that's why he has no hope of fixing himself. Afilu bizman sheimatze tikun nekilkulam shel kol ha'goyim u'milchamotem. Even when we hit a time where all the nations are perfected and their wars, b'ma'amar ze titparesh mashma'uta sheshayichut zo. Our focus in this article, in this piece, is to explain the connection between these two concepts. The fact that they were first to attack means that they have no hope. So this was the introductory paragraph. Should we stop here and continue a different time or move forward?
Here's some questions.
But we haven't yet heard him. He's just introducing a concept. He has a lot to say. I know this is the concept you asked about. Yehuda, do we stop or move forward?
How long is it?
He's got a lot to say. It's a few pages. Yes, there is. There's a Shem Shir tomorrow. Heaven permitting. I hope so. I say we see another 2-3 paragraphs. And we'll have to pick up next time is Hashem. One of the beautiful things to me about the Pachad Yitzchak is that he always gives me new concepts, new ways of looking at the world. He takes things that I never even thought of, and he suddenly develops it as a very integral part of Jewish thought. He takes little things, like you think of Amalek, you think of other parashas of Amalek. He takes this one verse of Bilaam's description of Amalek, and he zooms in and says, okay, now what do we see here? Parashat Mechiyat Amalek smuchai leparashat Vayishma Yitro. When the Torah tells us the parasha of annihilating Amalek, it's directly juxtaposed with the parasha of Jethro, of Yisro, hearing of the Jews coming out and coming and converting and joining the Jewish people. V'amru al zeh chachamim, and our sages say about this juxtaposition, let's take ufeti yarim. You hit the joker and the fool gets cunning out of it. You hit one guy and the other guy learns from it. Let's take, you hit the joker, that's Amalek, zeh Amalek say chazal. Ufeti yarim, and then the fool gets cunning, he wisens up from it. Zeitro, that's a reference to Jethro.
Cunning,
yarim, oma. Kilomar, what our sages were saying is, en mapalto shel Amalek mo'elet lo la'Amalek atzmo. When Amalek lost the war, he didn't learn his lesson. It was to no avail with regard to Amalek himself. Ve'en to'elet b'mapalto, and really there was no benefit in Amalek's losing that war, rak la mistakel ba, only to the onlookers. When we won our war against Amalek, the success was for anyone who would stop and note what happened here. Ve'lo lo le'atzmo, but he didn't learn his lesson. Ve'tam deval zehu, and the reason behind it is, why didn't Amalek learn his lesson? He came to fight us, and he saw in supernatural ways. Moshe stands up on top of the mountain, lifts his hands, bam, they're losing. You'd think he'd learn something from it. No, he doesn't. Why? Mipnei shamalek ubegeder letz. Because Amalek is described as a letz. And somewhere one of the commentaries wrote that if you take the gematria, I'll add my own 2 cents, but it's not my own idea. The gematria of letz times 2 equals Amalek. Letz is a joker. Someone who makes lamed tzadi. That's 120, and Amalek is 240. So,
gematria 4, sorry?
Hmm?
Gematria 4?
Letz, twice letz equals Amalek. V'chach im idato shel letz she'en hatochacha mo'ilano. A joker, you can never rebuke, it doesn't help him. Whatever you say, he'll make fun of it. So you're never going to, you can never get him to see that he's wrong. V'tzarich be'ur hecha nimtzao b'inyano shel Amalek ma'alach shel etzanut. So he says, okay. He went off on a tangent. He said, that the idea of Amalek being juxtaposed with Yisro is to teach us that Amalek never learns his lesson, only others can learn. Why can't Amalek learn? Because he's a letz. So he says, okay, so we have to understand, where do we see this concept that Amalek is a letz? Where do you see that Amalek is a joker? We're moving on to point three. Bilchot letzanut shaninu, in the laws, there are halachas regarding joking. So the halacha says, kol letzanut asira. Any type of joking is prohibited, chutz min letzanut avodah zarah, aside from joking about idol worship, about paganism. The Torah even mocks the names of different idols, switches their names. Mar kulis, not base kulis, the Talmud switches their names. Very often, the prophet makes fun of the idols. Karabel kores nevo, the prophet in Isaiah, Yeshaya, describes how the idol has to relieve himself, how he goes to the bathroom. He's mocking the idol. He says, the Babylonian idol of Baal won't be around to help his people. He's too busy relieving himself. And he speaks in a way that you wouldn't expect because he's mocking the idol. So the Talmud says, you're not supposed to mock anything other than idol worship. You're not supposed to be a joker with regard to anything other than paganism. It seems clear that the permissiveness of joking is about anything that's evil. It would seem clear, undoubtedly, that you can make fun of anything that's evil. Avil, and anything that's unfair. So why did our sages choose this example? Our sages said, don't make fun of anything other than idol worship. If what they meant was all evil, all bad, so why did they choose this example? And the key to understanding this is found in the words of Rabbeinu Yonah. So let's just follow his train of thought. He said, Amalek is letz, and leitzanut, joking, is prohibited other than for idol worship. And why, if it's permitted about anything bad, why does it say it's specifically about idol worship? Now we can understand it based on Rabbeinu Yonah. Just got to follow his logical sequence. He doesn't go very it's not difficult, just got to, what they say in Yiddish, hold cup. Keep the sequence. Rabbeinu Yonah writes on the pasuk Matzref lachesef v'chula zahav ve'ish lefi ma'alalo. The verse says, you use one type of instrument to purify silver. It's called a matzref. You use another instrument, another type of oven to purify the gold. That's called the kul. Ve'ish, and the human being, if you want to purify him, if you want to, you want to understand him or purify him, lefi ma'alalo. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. Which would seem to say each person according to his jest, his praise, his way. The question is, how do you define the word mahalalo? The Medrash has different interpretations. We're going to learn Rabbeinu Yonah right now on this pasuk. At first glance, what the verse means to say is that ish nikal mitoch ofen hahilul. You want to recognize a person? Look at what he praises. Ish lefi ma'alalo, you can gauge a person based upon what he praises. Shivne adam mehalelin oto. The first glance, I'm sorry, I skipped. The first glance is, you want to recognize a person, at first glance we'd say it means ish lefi ma'alalo, based upon his praise, means based upon how others praise him. You want to recognize a person, see how others praise him. And that's what Rabbeinu comes to preclude. He says, that's not what the pasuk is saying. I already gave it away. The initial understanding would be, you want to know who a person is. Gold, silver is purified here. Gold is purified there. The human being based upon how people praise him. And Rabbeinu Yonah comes and says, no, that's not the idea. And Rabbeinu Yonah explains, ish lefi ma'alalo, what does it mean? Each man can be gauged based upon his praise. Haynu mitoch ma she'adam me'alel. You can gauge a person based upon what he praises. Meaning, I gave away the bottom line, the punchline. That's a what? Oh, okay. This is what Rabbeinu Yonah writes. If a person praises good deeds, the wise people, the righteous people, then you know he's a good person. And you see, the root of righteousness is in him, because at least that's what he's admiring, that's what he looks up to, that's what he praises. Even though he might have sins that you don't see, but at least what he admires, what he likes, is righteousness. At least he's headed in the right direction. That's what he wants. But if someone praises actions which are despicable, or he praises the wicked, then you know that he's completely wicked himself. He says, take a good look over there at the gold language of Rabbeinu Yonah. Now, it's as if to say, if we want to put a person's character to the test, the prime question is, where does he align himself? He calls it tnuat ha'itbatlut. Hitbatlut literally means next to whom does he it's not really melt, it's that you give credence to what he says and you forgo your own opinion. That's hitbatlut. Next to whom does he what?
Yield.
Yeah. Where does he yield? To which direction does he yield? Before whom does he yield? What next to whom does he nullify himself? Because where people yield, where people are willing to put themselves down or where they look up to something, that's really because they give something importance. Why do I say, I'll be quiet next to him? Because I give him importance. Could be too. Could be. As much as you value something else, that's how much a person nullifies himself next to that. And the prime question, if you want to test the person, is what does he value? Where he nullifies himself is an indication of what he values. And now he gives a very painful example. He says, could be you have two people standing in front of you. One guy is learning Torah diligently. He's focused. And the second guy, he's not dealing in Torah, the second guy. He's a doctor. So you have Jacob and Dr. Max. Okay. But what you see is, Rabbi Jacob, when a philanthropist walks in, he suddenly nullifies himself. Suddenly he melts next to him. He yields before him. But when a rabbi, a Talmud Chacham, walks in next to Jacob, he doesn't budge. Ulumat zot, but on the contrary, motzimanu etzel hashini, when we look at Dr. Max, shebsha'a shu nifgash im tamid chacham, you find by him, when he meets a Talmud Chacham, when he meets a sage, mishtalet po yachas shechashivut v'itbatlut, he treats him with awe, with respect, with admiration. Bekegon ze, in such a scenario, Omelanu Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbeinu Yonah tells us, Ki afal pi shebishkidat alimud, even though if you look at the diligence, the focus of study, Matzavo shel harishon hu harbe yoter gavoah mishel hasheni, you'll say Jacob is much higher than Dr. Max. Mikol makom, nonetheless, harishon hu harbe yoter rachok min haTorah masher hasheni. But Jacob is more distant from the Torah than Dr. Max. He's learning more Torah. He's more focused on his Torah. And at the same time, he is more distant from the Torah than Dr. Max. Because what Rabbeinu Yonah was teaching us is, You see where a person's holding? Based upon what he values, what he praises, what he admires. And if a person focuses what he admires, he focuses it to the Torah, that in effect brings him closer to the Torah. Much more than the actual learning, where the learning is being done and at the same time I don't have that value, that admiration to the one who's teaching it. I could spend my whole day learning, but what approach do I have to the one teaching it? What connection? How do I view him? Umatsuyu adavar, and this is where it gets really painful, he says, and it's very common, lirot shnei anashim haomdim b'emtza chayem, to see people hit their midlife. Ha'echad mehem ekdish shnot nu'rav l'torah. One, Jacob, dedicated the years of his youth to learning Torah. V'asheni, and the second one, Dr. Max, hitasek b'shnot nu'rav b'inyanei olam. He spent his youth, he spent the first half of his life dealing in things of this world. He was dealing with his parnasa, he was dealing with his profession. And then when they hit the middle of their life, nafochu, suddenly everything turns upside down. Yaakov, Jacob, suddenly regrets that he didn't have a handle on worldly things as he was growing in his Torah. And Dr. Max regrets that he didn't learn more Torah when he was younger. You see, Dr. Max is much closer to the Torah than is Yaakov. Even though Yaakov might be a master of Shas, could be Yaakov master Shas. And Dr. Max doesn't know anything. He hasn't yet learned. Ish lefi malalo. Every person according to his praise. I see Bezalel is as bothered as I am. But it's a powerful thought.
But we also...
Wait, let him finish. He has two more lines. Kach hakarat hachashivut hanimtza ba'adam. That power of recognizing what a person really values... That's what Rabbeinu Yonah calls the power of praise. The ilul shel adam, what a person praises, eino ela bitul la'karat ha'chashivut shel oto adam. That's just what you praise is actually an expression of what you value. Ish lefi ma'alalo. Every person according to what he praises. And we're in the middle of a thought, because he hasn't yet connected any of this to the Ta'amalik. But I promised you two more paragraphs and then we'll pause, so we'll have to pick up here next time.